Tonight we'll chant Psalm 51 responsibly by full verse. Linda will play the tune for us first.
Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God created us to experience joy in communion with God, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all of God's creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, and so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. Also, by our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under God's judgment, but to turn to God and live. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are called to struggle against everything that leads us away from love of God and neighbor. Repentance, fasting, prayer, and works of love. Disciplines of Lent. Help us to wage our spiritual warfare. I invite you, therefore, to commit yourselves to the struggle and confess your sins, asking our Father for strength to persevere in your Lenten discipline. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole community of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives.
We confess to you, Lord,
our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. Our anger at our own frustration, and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty.
Accept
our repentance, Lord. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt towards those who differ from us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For our waste and pollution of the creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. If you so desire, I invite you to come forward, kneel at the altar, and receive the imposition of ashes. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and love. Therefore, we implore God to grant us true repentance, and God's Holy Spirit, that those things may please God which we do this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to God's eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing, and you forgive all the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, all pardon and forgiveness, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel reading. Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 13. Jesus was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. "Woman, you're free." He laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. The meeting place president, furious because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the congregation, "6 days have been defined as work days. Come on one of the six if you want to be healed, but not on the seventh, the Sabbath." But Jesus shot back, "You frauds. Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years?" When he put it that way, his critics were left looking quite silly and red-faced. The congregation was delighted and cheered him on. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father Christ, our risen and living Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our empower. Amen. Tonight, Grace Notes sang one of their favorite songs. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's all right. Message is pretty simple. Slam the door on the devil and temptation. Shut the door was followed by Psalm 51, which makes it quite clear that we're not all that good at shutting the door. We are sinners. Sinners. Now that's a tough one to get a hold on. Just what is sin? As I thought about that, I thought about a book written by C.S. Lewis back in the 40s, The Screwtape Letters. In The Screwtape Letters, Screwtape is a demon who's risen high in the company, and he writes 31 letters to his nephew, Wormwood, a demon in training, giving him advice on how to undermine God's word and get his, quote, patience to abandon God. Down there, selfish gain and power are seen as the only good. They have no idea why God wastes God's time on human beings, and cannot comprehend how God could possibly love them. Wormwood wants to tempt his human into extravagantly wicked and deplorable sins. But Screwtape, older and wiser, tells him again and again, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope. Soft underfoot, without turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Screwtape explains to his prodigy there are different purposes that God and the devil have for the human race. He tells them we want them to become cattle who just follow the herd and finally become food. God wants servants who aren't really servants at the end, but sons and daughters. Selfish gain and power, the strongest temptations. I think we see them at work in the reading from Luke. We have the president of the synagogue trying hard to hang on to his power, to his position of authority, despite the fact that right in front of him, God is at work. Who else could possibly heal a woman who has suffered from arthritis for 18 years? 18 years, and her body is all crumpled and her hands are twisted. Jesus comes into the synagogue that day on the Sabbath and heals her. And the synagogue president is angry. Doesn't he know no healing is done on the Sabbath? No work is done on the Sabbath? That is God's law. Jesus challenges his conclusions, challenges him to look beyond a legalistic understanding of God's will. He is basically saying, do you think God is so small, so uncaring, so loveless, that keeping the law is more important to God than freeing a person who's been imprisoned in their body for 18 years? who has been bullied by her community for 18 years because every time they look at her, they see a woman who has sinned. Why else would she be in this situation? But the healing, Jesus not only heals her body, but heals what everybody has thought of her for 18 years, raises her up and shows her to be a beloved, valued child of God. I love Luke. Because in Luke's gospel, time and time again, we have an example involving a woman, and right after it, an example following, including a man. And in the very next chapter, Jesus catches the same kind of pushback from another synagogue president for healing a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. In both these situations, the person with authority just wants to protect their power. Daniel Erlander talks about sin as people trying to prove to themselves, to others, that they are a bigger deal than anyone else. They feel a compulsive need to keep track of just how far ahead they are of their neighbors when it comes to how smart they are, or how much stuff they have, or how many people they can boss around, how many people have to listen to what they say and do as they say, or how beautiful they are, or how much stuff they can strip the earth of with no regard for the earth, their home, or future generations. The only thing important to them is how big and important they are right now. How they can keep themselves feeling big and important. Forget everyone else. It's about me. Forget this woman. Does she really matter? She's a cripple. Forget that man with dropsy. Does he really matter? He's expendable. But this is not what God desires for us. What did Screwtape and Wormwood find so hard to understand? That God loves each and every one of us. That God's one and only desire is that each and every one of us can be called a son, a daughter of God. God chooses to love us and hopes that we can follow in our Father's footsteps, in our Savior's footsteps, and can think of others first, ourselves second. Believe me, in the book, these two characters are thinking only of themselves. Uncle turns against nephew. Nephew turns against uncle. No love, no empathy lost between the two of them. It's just a matter of saving their own skins. I'm thinking of another song. They'll know we are Christians. It's one of those you learn at Bible camp when you sit around the campfire. Those songs get inside of your head and you never forget them. And they kind of pop up in your head when you least expect. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. will guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Maybe that one phrase in the song, "Shut the door," is talking about that. That phrase that says, "Light a candle, everything's all right." Light a candle. Be that light we were called to be in our baptisms. Do that, and you'll drive screw tape and wormwood and the devil absolutely crazy. So this Lenten season, light a candle. Slam the door on the devil. Amen. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the Church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Help us return to you with all our hearts. Give us the will and the words to pray in this assembly of believers and in the privacy of our homes. God, in your God of mercy, teach us to treasure the earth you have made. Bring new life to rivers, oceans, and trees, and to all the animal species that are dying. God of mercy, now is the acceptable time for us to learn the way of peace. Plant peace in our hearts, in our homes, and in every nation, that it might sprout and flourish. God of mercy, grant comfort and endurance to all those who suffer from hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, sleepless nights, or hunger. Bring healing to the sick and rest to the weary. We pray this day for Alan Zelm and Joanne Zelm, Mary Jo Iverson, and David Shanklin. God of mercy, center our congregation in the cross of Christ. cross of ashes and rebirth. Take away the obstacles standing in the way of serving our neighbor, God of mercy. As we remember the saints who have gone before us, fill us with hope for the day of salvation, when the ruins will be rebuilt, the streets restored, and the waters will never fail. God of mercy. Into your hands, God of abundant grace, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of our gracious, forgiving Lord be with you all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. After he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And after he'd given thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite the communion assistants to please come forward. For communion tonight, you'll come forward, take a cup from the tray, come to the railing, kneel, receive the bread and wine, and go back to your seats. This is God's gift of grace, and all are welcome. Please stand. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace till life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for this bread and wine, your body and blood. We thank you for once again assuring us that our sins are forgiven. Freed from the burden of our guilt, empower us with your Holy Spirit to go out into this world and to forgive others as we have been forgiven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.